John 17, verses 20 through 22, I'll read it. It says this: I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me.
Yeah.
Ooh. Huh. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one.
Yeah.
I can preach on this for months, but I've been only given a week to talk into this. And there's a lot to unpack here, so we're going to get right to it. Father, just speak through me. Lord, speak your truth through me. And I ask that in your name we pray. Amen and amen. What we just read just now is an excerpt of what is widely regarded as the greatest prayer recorded in Scripture. And understandably so, because these words came from God.
Yeah.
God the Son, God in the flesh, uttered through his physical facilities. These words represented the last supplications of Jesus Christ before he knowingly faced his crucifixion. So let me ask you just for a moment to enter into the theater of imagination. Imagine for a moment that God, who instigated the creation of the universe, who existed in eternity, was compelled by his grace and mercy to redeem a world broken by his own creation. The creation that he created in his own image, mankind. Imagine in his plan that the world, this world, that he would humble himself and enter into it and to take on the form of humanity, knowing that he had 3 years to put into action the redemptive plan for all of humanity and the restoration of all things, and that these 3 years was coming to a close.
Yeah.
Imagine. Imagine having the fanfare as you have entered into Jerusalem, but knowing that the world was caving in around you. The opposition now has been permitted to have its way. Imagine just for a moment that you had the Last Supper with your disciples, that you had just done life with for 3 years. Imagine knowing that one of them had already betrayed you, and that now the religious authorities, in concert with the Roman authorities, are now on their way to come in to pick you up, to capture you, to humiliate you, to beat you, to scourge you. And imagine eventually that you would be nailed to a torturous cross where you will hang by nails and suffocate to death. Imagine knowing that you were out of time, that there was no time left, and that this will be the last time that you will spend in physical comfort and in intimacy with your heavenly Father. So you pray. You pray. You see, if you had any unfinished business or any final request, anything you needed to say in that moment, you would make it your business to say it. And for the people that it concerns, the people that you're speaking to, you would hope or believe that they would make it their prerogative to listen very closely to what you are saying, because what you are saying is profoundly important, and what you are saying, yes, destiny hangs at the balance.
Come on.
This is where we find ourselves in John chapter 17. Jesus, in his final words among many, makes this supplication to God. He says to God this in verse 20. He says, I do not pray for these alone. Yes, he's talking about the disciples that he had just done life with. The disciples that he just spent all this time with, equipping and building up and teaching and loving. But then he says this, but also for those who believe in me in their word.
Yeah.
And there he's talking about the future believers.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about you and me today. And if and so he says, I pray for these alone, and I pray for those who will believe in me. For what? What does he want us to do? What does he want these believers to do? Verse 21.
Yeah.
He says that they may all be one.
Let's go.
As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us. Jesus' dying request, knowing he's about to go, knowing that he's about to be crucified, before he's glorified, makes this supplication.
Come on.
He asks that they may be one. Whew. I want you to put it in the chat. And I want you to make this declaration. Put it in the comments real quick. I want you to write that unity is not an option. You don't get to choose who you are one with. If you are in Christ and your brother and sister is in Christ, then you are one. Even if your brother and sister looks different than you, even if your brother or sister is a Republican or a Democrat, even if your brother and sister is black or white, even if your brother and sister was a citizen or an immigrant, even if your brother or sister was an illegal immigrant,
come on.
You don't get to choose who your family is. Because if we're born again in Christ, then we are born in each other. We are stuck with each other because we are stuck with Christ.
Yes.
Unity is not impossible. Unity is imperative. It's imperative. Because what brings us together isn't our similarity. What brings us together is our mission. Our unity is in the mission. We are unified for the sake of mission. Notice what Jesus says here. He says in verse 21, that they may all be one. Why? That the world may believe you have sent me. Did you catch that? He wants them to be one so that the world can believe the message of his gospel. We are one for the sake of mission. Now, I know it's No Nuance November, so forgive me if I lack some tact here. Jesus did not call us to kumbaya with each other. Jesus isn't asking us to be one. He's imploring us to be one. And what compels us to be so is that the calling that he's given us, he's called us to be unified in. He didn't call us to kumbaya with each other. He called us on mission together with each other. But more so, what he's saying here is he's implying that the kumbaya is not enough. No, the kumbaya is not good enough to keep us together. Because in due time, we're going to have issues with each other. We're going to beef with each other. We're going to have disagreements with each other. We're going to have dissensions with each other.
Come on.
That's going to happen. So then what's going to keep us together? What's going to keep us when we rumble? What's going to keep us when we beef? What's going to keep us together is the mission. Somebody just write in the chat. It's about the mission. It's about the mission. What am I saying here? What I'm saying is that Jesus might have brought us together, but the mission is what keeps us together. You know, I hear people say this all the time, that there's so many disagreements in the church today. There's so many dissensions in the church today. There's so many arguments in the church today. People are beefing with each other. I can't believe it. It just seems like we're so divided. Well, maybe you didn't read the book of Acts. Maybe you hadn't read the Bible, because if we notice in the book of Acts, it's replete with examples of people who disagreed with each other. Take Acts 15, the great disagreement in which the Council of Jerusalem had to come together to come into reconciliation with. Or take the church in Galatia in Acts chapter 16. Or take the church in Corinth in Acts chapter 18. Or how about you take the church in Ephesus in the same chapter?
Come on.
Do I need to remind you, church, that Paul's letter to the Galatians was motivated by disagreement?
Yeah.
In Galatians chapter 2, he says to them, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has what? Bewitched you." Or how about 1 Corinthians? Did you forget that he opens the letter with 1 Corinthians and he's telling us that the letter was written because of disagreement? He opens the letter. He says this: "It has been declared to me concerning you that there are many contentions among you." Paul wrote the letter because of disagreement. Or maybe we forgot about Ephesians, when Paul was motivated to affirm our unity in Christ. So what motivates this unity? It's the mission. Remember, Paul reminds us this in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. He says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son. Where? Notice. To reveal his son in me.
Yes.
Meaning my unity in Christ and Christ in us. It's Christ in us and we in Christ. But why? Notice what he says next. That I might preach him among the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Are y'all catching that? That I might preach him. Or how about we take the church in Corinth? When he wrote the letter to address the contentions that were going on and the disagreements that were going on in the church in Corinth. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. He says, for since the wisdom of God, through the foolishness of the message preached, what is the message? The message is the gospel. But then he gives us the motivation. He says, why? Look what he says. To save those who believe. Or let's go back and see Paul's letter in the church in Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul tells us that the fellowship of the mystery, that the unity came from what? Is what Paul says. He says, the grace that was given, that is, that the grace that was given to him that I should, or that he should, preach among the Gentiles. The unsearchable riches of Christ.
Come on.
To make that fellowship known.
Come on.
Back it up. What are you trying to say, Pastor? What I'm saying to you is this, that if our unity is in Christ, then our unity must be in his mission. And his mission was to save the world. What did Jesus say in John chapter 3, verse 17? He said, but God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The church would be unified if the church had the same prize. Because if the prize is saving souls, then we would be more compelled to work together. It's the prize that allows us to get over each other. It's the prize that allows us to get over our own predilections and our own preferences. It's the prize that gets us over our political affiliations. It's the prize that gets us over our cultural distinctions. It's the prize that allows us to overcome our social differences. Why? Because it's the prize that brings the Democrat and the Republican together. It's the prize that allows black people and white people to work together. It's the prize that allows Hispanics and Caribbeans to work together. It's the prize that allows rich people and poor people to work together. The problem is our eyes aren't on the prize, but I came to prophetically declare today we must keep our eyes on the prize. Why? Because we are unified for the sake of mission.
Yeah.
Unity isn't impossible. Unity is imperative.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get over yourself quickly when you're aware that souls are on the line. That's the problem, is we're all about our positions, all about being recognized, but we're not about souls. Because if we were about souls, we'd get over some of this petty stuff that's going on. Paul spoke about these disagreements and said, wouldn't they see that you're acting as mere humans? We are peculiar people, and yet we're bickering with each other.
Come on, sir.
But we're bickering because our eyes aren't on the prize. Actually, if our eyes were on the prize, we'd be more focused. It's our eyes being on the prize that allows the most unlikely people to come together.
Yes. Yes.
It's our eyes being on the prize that does it. Anybody seen the documentary, The Last Dance? Y'all haven't seen it? Okay, good. All right. If you haven't seen it, you sleep, because it's an amazing documentary. Even if you're not a basketball fan, you should still go and watch it because it's an amazing documentary. All right. So you sleep if you haven't seen it. If you haven't seen it, go on. I think it's on Netflix now. Yes, it is. Go on Netflix. Go and watch it. You say, well, I ain't a basketball fan. Well, it won an Emmy. Okay.
Nah.
It won an Emmy, so it's important. Okay? It's important. But it's arguably, to me, at least one of the best documents I've ever seen, because it is about the Chicago Bulls and their last championship run, which arguably was, you know, the greatest dynasty in the history of basketball. But there are many characters in that story, right? There are many characters on that team. You had MJ on that team, right? MJ was the larger-than-life, the superstar. I mean, he was MJ. Everybody knows Michael Jordan, right? You had MJ. But then you had Pippen, who was a Hall of Famer. But he was kind of the Rodman. Not the Rodman. He was the Robin to the Batman, right? So he was more subtle. He was more docile, more quiet. but he's still a great player, right? So you have Pippen, and then you had Rodman. Y'all remember Rodman? How do you not remember Rodman? I mean, the colored hair, the tattoos. The man wore a wedding dress to marry himself. Okay? That tells you who Dennis Rodman was, right? Or what about John Paxson? The guy just looks like, he looks like a high school basketball coach.
Yeah.
He just looks like it. He coaches basketball somewhere, right? I mean, the guy just looked like a high school basketball coach. Or Horace Grant. Remember the tough, rambunctious Horace Grant? The goggles? Come on, y'all. It's about the goggles, y'all boys. But is anything you can know about Horace Grant? Horace Grant did not like Michael Jordan. He didn't like him. There's stories of Steve Kerr, right? Thumping.
Yes.
With Michael Jordan. If you watch that documentary and you look behind the scenes, what you're going to realize is that there would be no other situation where these men would be together doing anything with each other. In no other context would these men know each other. In no other context would these men have a relationship with each other. I'm sure John Paxson got Michael Jordan's phone number. In no other context would John Paxson ever get Jordan's number. In no other context would Jordan give his number to Rodman. In no other context would these guys ever get to know each other. And yet they have stories of doing life together. Did you remember the story when Rodman took time off and he was over on the West Coast and like the man was just lost in the sauce?
Yeah.
And Jordan got on a plane and flew across the country, showed up to his hotel to pull him out of his stupor. What would compel Jordan to do that? What would compel these men to come together? The reason why they came together is because their eyes were on the same prize. They were brought together because of the ring.
Come on.
They were brought together because this is our last dance. They were brought together because they said, remember Pippen, he stopped playing at one point.
Yeah.
And Pippen was like, maybe I should play. Because Pippen got in his feelings. It was that hurt.
Yeah.
And even though he was hurt, you know what he did? He said, let me overcome my hurt. Because what we're doing together is way bigger than how I feel. I wonder what would happen if the church would have the same mentality. If the church would be about the same prize. If the church would be about the same mission. Maybe we would get over each other. Maybe we would stop wanting to be positioned or for people to listen to me. It's not to say that isn't important, but there's something more important than that. It's the fact that we're on mission together. Maybe if we were on mission together, we would get over trying to find people that look like us and think like us and act like us and realize sometimes you need a guy who can shoot threes.
Yeah.
And you need a guy who's in the paint.
Yeah.
That we all can't look the same, be the same, talk the same, act the same. That we all have unique gifts that can be used in order to leverage and build the kingdom of God. If only we would know that we're after the same mission, that we would learn that we're positioned by our gifts.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, may the mission bring us together. May the mission be what keeps us together.
Yes.
Because this isn't just true in the capital C church. It's even true in the lowercase c church.
Yes.
Are you in church because you got people you like that's with you?
Mm-hmm. That's the question.
Are you in church to form your clique? Because I tweeted this earlier this week, and I realized it was from the Holy Spirit. So I tweeted, I said, when we are unified because we like each other or because we have cultural or ideological similarities, right, we become cliques and cults. But when we are unified for the sake of mission, for the sake of God's mission, then we become the church.
Yeah.
You see, doctrine will always create denominations. Mission will catalyze movements.
That's good, sir.
You see, we're stronger together, fam.
Yeah.
We're stronger together. So if we're stronger together, can you see how people who are different from you help in fulfilling the prize? Did y'all catch that? Can you see how somebody who doesn't talk like you, doesn't look like you, doesn't act like you, help you get to the prize? Because if you did, maybe you'd love him or her more. If you did, maybe you'd celebrate him or her more.
Sure.
If you did, you'd get over it. And if you did, it wouldn't be about whether or not you were Republican or Democrat. Because our political differences do not supersede the prize. Mm-hmm. You see, it's the prize that put a middle America white man on a court together with a Midwestern black man. Going after the same thing. Did y'all see when they won the ring? What did they do? Their ideologies, their preferences, their race, their culture, their history, all faded away. And they began to embrace each other in celebration because they're holding up the prize.
Yeah.
And it was the trophy. Can we hold the prize? Because here's the crazy thing about it. The prize has already been won.
Can we hold it?
It was already accomplished in Christ.
Yeah.
Come on.
So can we come together and hold it?
Can we just hold it?
Because he's already given it to us. So can we just hold it? Christ has already died on the cross. Can we just hold it? Sin has already been defeated. Can we just hold it? We already have the victory. Can we just hold it? The victory has already been won. Can we just hold it? Can we just come together? Can we pop bottles? Can we celebrate? Because the reason why we worship together is because the prize has already been won. Christ has made us one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
So what has distracted you from the mission? Are we still wearing the same jersey?
Wow.
Let's pray. Father, I ask.